Hi, Mayor.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Actually, I don't golf very often or very well, but I did take a ride down yesterday. Hyannis, they had a golf tournament to raise money for the North Quincy High Scholarship Alumni Fund, and Dr. Ali Cuban was honored this year as the honoree at the event. So we got it in before the rain started. It was fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. Dare you share your score with us?
Well, it's best ball, so scramble. That's the only kind of golf I will play.
Okay.
But they didn't use my ball too often, I can tell you that.
Oh, that's wonderful. So scholarships for graduating seniors at North?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It's a football alumni, guys, that get together every year to do it. Pretty nice of them.
That's nice. I know he is a huge supporter of his alma mater, has been for many, many years, so that's great.
He is indeed. Yep. Special guy.
Speaking of golfing, what a transition, Mayor. I think you set me up for that. I know there is a community meeting this evening regarding the future plans for the Furnacebrook Golf Course. I wonder if you could tell us about.
Yeah, sure. I know that since we have talked about the Furnacebrook takeover, which was really settled 50 years ago, some people said, why did you buy a golf course? I said, we didn't buy a golf course. The deal was struck 50 years ago to protect it as open space. As part of the golf course, the original golf course was sold off because they were struggling financially. So it's a beautiful spot. So we decided, working with our natural resources department, particularly the park department, we had meetings with Ian Kane. We looked at, okay, the golf course needs some TLC for sure. We made a decision, we, the city, the Park and Rec Board, to keep it going as a golf facility, but also to kind of meld it in with the Globes Hill Park up there and do some great improvements. The place is tired and needs a lot of attention, so it's a process. We've had several meetings over the past year, and I think that in the end it's going to be something that will be a great improvement to the neighborhood. I'm a little surprised at the handful of opposition to it. Some of that I think is rooted in some of the dog owners there that have full play up there on the field side. Years ago used to be T-ball up there and a lot of other activities. It's been less so over the years, so it's our intention to do some other nice recreational stuff up there, including a new tennis court, new basketball court, some playground equipment for the neighborhood to use. And of course we're also looking at replacing the clubhouse, which is antiquated and does not meet any of the ADA requirements under federal law. So we've got some challenges, but putting the plan together, we're working with folks, and I know that the original size of the parking lot was criticized, and so that has been reduced in a very large way due to the feedback of the neighborhood. So I think the park department under the natural resources department has done a nice job really working with people up there and trying to figure it all out. It's interesting. To some degree, it reminds me a little bit of the track. When we proposed the track on Faxon Field, and the world was going to end. Kids were going to get killed by cars running off the road, and people were going to die from the air pollution, et cetera, et cetera. The neighborhood was going to get flooded out. And the track was built. It's used all the time by the public in the city. It looks nice, and all that negativity goes away after it's built. So I hope that's the case with this. I know there's been some legitimate issues raised, and we should respond to those legitimate issues. I also think there's those folks that just think it's their park up there, and they don't want to share it with anybody else.
So you heard some of the concerns, removing some of the trees, some of the parking issues. Was there a reservoir up there at one time?
Yes, there was. Okay. That right by the stone tower that's up there holds a tank, and there was a reservoir there by the old Metropolitan District Commission that was filled in many years ago. Okay. So we're addressing the drainage issues up there as part of this. There's been drainage issues up there for a long time for that neighborhood. So we're dealing with the drainage issues as part of the deal. In the end, we'll probably be planting more trees on the site than what was there before. You know, every time you take a tree down, people get all worked up. There are times when trees have to come down for legitimate reasons. Every time we have a storm, you see them falling all over the city that we have to deal with. Now, the flip side is we've planted thousands of trees over the last 4 or 5 years across the city. So we aim to keep our urban forest in a good place. And I'm a tree guy. If anyone knows the history of Marymount Park and all we did in removing paved roadways and planting numbers of new trees. Same thing in a number of our parks across the city. They'll understand that I'm a friend as far as the trees go. But sometimes, because of the condition of a tree, it has to come down. So at any rate, I think we'll work all those issues out. Again, you can't make everybody happy all the time. So I'm not sure we're going to get 100% satisfaction. But, you know, the vast majority of that neighborhood that I've heard from is supporting the improvements up there.
Would it be a brand new clubhouse, or would you renovate the existing structure?
No, you know what? It's just like when the school building authority looked some years at our schools and they make recommendations whether they rehab or build new. This one is so bad. We really think the new is probably a more the better way to spend the taxpayers' dollars, which will be repaid over time by the golf users. I think to build it right and to build it ADA accessible, do what we need to do. It'd have to be a new facility.
And I think that's important, too, to point out. It now becomes a public facility for residents, right?
That's correct. I think the neighborhood's going to enjoy that. Whether you play golf or not, you walk up the hill and grab a burger up there, sit on the porch and look at the beautiful views, or play some horseshoes or bocce up there. I mean, I think it's going to be magnificent for that neighborhood to be able to enjoy.
And golfing programs, I'm assuming, too, for the schools?
Oh, indeed. Absolutely. The golfing is more accessible now by the public. And I know there's some concern over that. If you build something too nice, then we're going to have way too much traffic, et cetera. But, you know, it's a 9-hole course. You can only have so many golfers. Mm. So that's pretty limited anyway. And I don't see people driving from Eastern Massachusetts to go up there to get a burger. So I do think it's going to be largely used, the facility, by the neighborhood, mm-hmm. People walking up and enjoying a summer's night up there for a hot dog or something.
And the timeline on the project now, Mayor, is where does it stand right now?
That's a good question. I know that they're fine-tuning some of the stuff we just described. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of work already on the course with new irrigation system and upgrades, buying some equipment. So this is a phased-in program. The clubhouse is probably not going to be started until sometime in 2023, by the time you get all of it finished up, design, spec, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You try to time these things so you're not in the middle of the golf season interfering with use. So there's a schedule to be worked out, and I don't have that answer off the top of my head.
Okay. So, and again, there's a meeting this evening at 7 at the clubhouse, actually.
That's my understanding.
Very good. Could I ask you, too, Mayor, about another issue on Quarry Street regarding the bollards that were used to section off the bike lane? And I understand those have not been replaced after the winter. Are they going to be?
A portion of them are going to be, yeah.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of those. It makes it more difficult to sweep and keep the street clean. It also eliminates parking when the Elks have an event for overflow or Sons of Italy. It becomes a challenge for that. So we are putting the bollards back, but not as intense as they were. I don't think they'll go as far down the street. I do believe in having safe lanes for biking, and we do have, as you know, a number of bike lanes all across the city. We don't have room to put bollards in all of them, and I drive through Boston, and it's absolutely insane, some of the redesign, creating these extra lanes and eliminating traffic lanes. We still, you know, I still see far more cars out there than bikes, and I know we all would like to see more bikes for the environmental purposes, but we have to move traffic each and every day, as well as try to provide safe zones for our bike riders. And I always say to people, I don't care whether you're a pedestrian driving a car or driving a bike, you've got to always put yourself in the other user's shoes. Sometimes we get very selfish on the road. We're not looking when we should be. We don't respect somebody in the bike lane. The bikes, sometimes they go between the cars when they're at the red light and don't follow the rules. So everyone's got to pay more attention to have good, safe roads each and every day. So yeah, some of the bollards are going back. Traffic and parking is taking care of that. It should be imminent at this point.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much for that update. Appreciate that. Your senior luncheon coming up tomorrow at the Kennedy Center, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
The annual luncheon we celebrate for our Independence Day event. It always is a sellout. The Senior Center is so active. It's really great to see. Tom Clasby and the staff there have done a great, great job. They get a lot of volunteers that assist, and I think their membership is over 4,000 now.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been very well used. So I try to stay in touch with the various parts of our population, and it's nice to get back post-COVID to some of these events that we were doing prior to COVID that we had to cancel for a couple of years. So look forward to going about and seeing the seniors and having some laughs with them.
It's the air-conditioned Kennedy Center, we should add.
Indeed. Yes. The place is in good shape and includes air conditioning, and we'll hope to get to the backyard soon. We've had a lot of challenges environmentally to make use of that, what I would call scrub vegetation in the back. It used to be a softball field many years ago. But at any rate, we're working on a plan for that as well.
Very good. Speaking of the 4th of July, any plans locally?
Well, Quincy has, it's interesting. Quincy has always done the neighborhood things historically. A lot of towns have a town-wide type event. We have the Squanum Parade, the Marymount Parade, the Adam Shore flag raising. I know there's a number of other neighborhood groups down at Sag Harbor, for example. Some of the veterans groups do things that with flag raisings at certain poles and spots where they're honoring veterans. So it's there's an array of activities that day. And then, of course, I think a lot of people have huge barbecues all over the city, and many watch the... If you sit out at the harbor, and you can see various, not very up tight, close like our flag day, but you can see fireworks going all across, all the way up from Winthrop and yep. Revere down to Boston Harbor, and a lot of banging noise. The poor dogs probably go crazy on that night, but it's all good. I know that July 3rd, the Housenet does their thing,
yep.
their family events. So there's a lot of things that happen for the weekend, and the long range looks pretty good, I think, for the weather. So
it does.
That's always important.
Yeah, it looks very summer-like for sure. I can't help always think around this time of year that this is how the founding fathers intended the 4th of July to be celebrated in each little neighborhood. I know that Quincy...
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
In fact, John Adams talked about that when they asked him, and he talked about it be celebrated with bonfires and fireworks. And
yep.
Years ago, they used to have a massive bonfire up at Passion Field back in the early 1900s.
Oh.
That's been done away with, probably for good reasons.
Yes.
But, you know, overall, you still have, I think, the spirit of the celebration. It may be happening in different ways, but it's still there. And, you know, I think we take for granted the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy that many, many countries are very jealous of this country. And with all the division we've had the last couple of years over different issues, we still should be mindful of that this is the greatest country, that people, voices are heard, you have the freedom of speech, freedom of worship. It's unique. This isn't regular around the world. It's very unique, and you see some of the biggest troublemakers in the world, like Russia and China, and you would not survive very long in those countries to enjoy the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy. So we should be mindful of that, and we should remember the 56 signers of that Declaration of Independence. Because technically speaking, if things didn't go well, they all would have been hung, their families would have been murdered, and their properties would have been burned. Sometimes we forget all the sacrifices of the founding fathers, and then, of course, subsequent to that, all the various wars and conflicts that our men and women have served in to defend that red, white, and blue, which, again, is the greatest symbol in the world for freedom.
Yes, I know there'll be a ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial at Marina Bay today.
Yes, indeed. We're adding a name to the wall, by the name of Phillips, I think it's Charles Phillips, who was missing in action for a long, long time, and the assumption has been made that he died over there, so his name is being added. I know a colleague of his who served and grew up with him, John Magnarelli, who's going to be speaking about him. We're also going to be remembering the great service of Larry Norton, who... Him and Tom Belinda ran this for years.
Yeah.
Tom's still with us and is coordinating this year's event. And we're going to be honoring Larry with a bench in his memory out there. Larry was amazing in reminding all of us that we need to remember their sacrifices and the stories of these men.
What time is that today, Mayor?
2:00 at the clock tower.
Very good. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great 4th.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye.